Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Yeah. Oh, boy. The world's a stage, right? It's all theater.
And RFK Jr. says something, and then
Donald Trump's over there saying it, too. I can't do his impression.
Then they must be a laughingstock, bunch of idiots.
So, on Sunday, during the Kirk Memorial, I believe is when he said it, Trump's like, we are going to have some great information that comes out having to do with autism and its reduction. And I said, bro, it's going to be about the vaccines. They possibly have pieced together this vaccine database that somebody sabotaged because they were going to try to do so as... The episode, as Del Bigtree mentioned on Culture Apothecary, I'm sure other places, and that I covered in an episode. Look for the episode on, you know, biggest scandal this century, world or American wide or whatever. I'm pretty sure I mentioned Culture Apothecary in the description and or mention Del Bigtree. So look for that. But I thought that's what it was going to be about. And while that might have been hinted at, they didn't out and out come out with the database and say what they found there. But he did happen to mention vaccines and autism. But then when you looked at the articles that night, I'm sorry, the headlines, because I accidentally did, just flipping through. Oh, look, they're covering. I even had it on mute or something. And I'll be darned. Look at them covering it. I'll be darned. Look at the only thing they're covering. It's this other acetaminophen deal that acetaminophen use in pregnancy might lead to autism. And immediately, ah, ball crap, it does. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see how easily we can say, yeah, it does. Or at least they didn't pull this out of their asses. So that's what we're doing here. I had recorded a version, but then I did enough kind of looking around and discovering. I don't mind doing some discovering as I'm recording, but at some point then I go, eh, well, how about we don't anymore? So, you know, I'm going to, now that I've looked at it, kind of re-record. First of all, I want to tell you, bro, Wikipedia is a battle. You want to look at when something was changed and so on. You have neurodevelopmental effects in pregnancy of paracetamol, which is the less common name for acetaminophen, you know, Tylenol, Panadol. And there's a section called, as I was saying, neurodevelopmental effects in pregnancy. First paragraph ends with, current high-quality evidence shows no causal link between prenatal use and autism or other neurodevelopmental disorders, while untreated pain or fever poses risks to both mother and fetus. Very next paragraph, they don't give the details. The details end up being that something was just released by the highest of sources and published. Actually, I believe it was published about a month ago, but a press release went out the day after the White House press conference or this administration's press conference that pointed to it and said, yeah, this is a thing. And it said, this is a look at 46 different studies that showed an association. Yet at the end of this first paragraph, no causal link among current high quality evidence. Conclusive, there is no causal link. Shows no causal link. When a Mount Sinai and Harvard School of Medicine, it's not quite the name of it, but that's what it is, plus UCLA, plus a fourth school, said, oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yeah, there is. And when they do mention that the FDA advised physicians to minimize routine acetaminophen use during pregnancy due to unproven links to autism and ADHD. Wikipedia also doesn't mention that the article came out, that you'd think, okay, latest developments, you'd give the details and say, hey, this is the latest, this is, you know, late breaking news, and you give the details. No, it's just that the FDA, you know, that damn Trump administration's FDA are probably influenced by DHS Secretary RFK Jr. They just said it. They just advised it that they should minimize routine acetaminophen use. They didn't have a reason. So they said, hey, minimize its use, and we're going to find out. We'll cover it. It's to minimum effective dose. And really, they're saying you probably don't want to do it, but we'll get to that. And then they say, research on prenatal acetaminophen use in child neurodevelopment is mixed. Well, wait a second. You just said shows no causal link between prenatal use and autism. So it is a battle of narrative on Wikipedia. And if you want to find asshole motherfuckers or potential propaganda agents, if you really wanted to, you've got backtrackability on the people who are very active. And you just go, okay, where is this particular user over and over reworded at Wikipedia? Because anybody can, in the apologetic position for Big Pharma. Research on prenatal acetaminophen use and child neurodevelopment is mixed. While some studies suggest increased risk of disorders like ADHD and ASD, and others finding no association. Notice how they didn't say autism, even though that's exactly, we're going to look into it. Okay, fine. So the White House deal was about, hey, acetaminophen use before pregnancy and during pregnancy can lead to autism. Okay, what do we know about acetaminophen? Go look at the package when you go to use it. It can be toxic. That's why you're supposed to limit yourself. You can go find articles on, you can overdose and get kidney and liver damage from acetaminophen. Now, I'm not saying at the proper dose, it doesn't do what it's said to do, and it's not the miracle drug. In the normal, where an adult human, I'm not saying that it's a problem, but dosages vary depending on what's going on. And when pregnant and when a child is being developed, we know that folic acid is very important. So they have a press release that says, hey, folic acid, folate, can be very important to help mitigate this. Well, if you look up folic acid in vitamin D, it says exactly that. Super duper important before and during pregnancy. Here's an article, NHS.UK, pregnancy. There's another one, CDC. I think I probably deleted that tab. But it says the same thing. So folic acid before and during pregnancy. This is an article called Vitamin Supplements and Nutrition in Pregnancy on NHS.UK, which is clearly the health service in the United Kingdom. Well, you should take 500 micrograms of folic acid every day from before you're pregnant until you're 12 weeks pregnant. So 500 micrograms would be 400/1,000 of a milligram. So 4/10 of a milligram, okay? 4/10 of a milligram of folic acid every day, ideally from before you're pregnant until you're 12 weeks pregnant. And then it says, well, here's the thing. You can try to get some folate, which is a natural form of folic acid, breakfast cereals, fat spreads, but it's difficult to get the amount of folate recommended for a healthy pregnancy from food alone, so it's important to take a folic acid supplement. Folic acid can help prevent birth defects known as neural tube defects, including spina bifida. It says take 40 micrograms from before you're pregnant until at least when you're 12 weeks pregnant. And then if you have a higher chance of these types of things, like a history of neural tube effects in the family and so on and so forth, then you're going to want to take 5 milligrams. This is how important and fundamental it is. We talked about being 0.4 milligram. Now we're talking about 5 milligrams. Okay, and so in this article about vitamin supplements and nutrition in pregnancy, the first thing they mentioned is folic acid supplement. Now, then they do check, mention vitamin D in pregnancy and some other ones, but highly and mostly they mention folic acid. And so, then what are neural tube defects? Because it sounds like it might be more limited. Neural tube defects. ClevelandClinic.org. Neural tube defects. Under health library / diseases and conditions. Neural tube defects are birth defects of the brain, spine, or spinal cord that happen in fetuses within the first month of pregnancy. So now you can see the potential mechanism. Either folic acid or folate deficiency is going to be worse, or more folic acid or folate is going to be needed if there's something else that causes a problem. And thus the obvious connection to, if acetaminophen is causing a problem, then you need to not only take folate, but you need to take more of it. Now, as to the basis of this whole thing, this is not difficult, folks. Just fuck Wikipedia and then go do your own research. Some of them, if you look momentarily until the guy from Big Pharma is paid to switch it back, there's drama in what is switched back and forth. But I just, I actually donate to Wikipedia. Not a lot, but I've donated for years, just a little bit monthly, because I think it's important to discover, but I'm not a nerd in there. You know, the history of the editing is important. I mean, it is in there. So you could see, I'll be darned if somebody tried to state what this was really about, and then somebody immediately switched it back and act like, and wanted to make you believe the FDA didn't have any basis for it. So, here we go. There are two different articles. And one article is, let me find this real quick. I had both articles up. Give me a moment. All right, so I've got them up. They're really both about the same thing. It's just interesting. I told you that this actually came up more than a month ago. So RFK Jr. was not pulling it out of his ass. But neither was Donald Trump. This is from the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. That's A-C-A-H-N. You can find it on mountsinai.org, which is a hospital and health system, I believe, right in New York City. But certainly it's in New York. August 13th, 2025. Yeah, New York, New York. Have found that prenatal exposure to acetaminophen may increase the risk of neurodevelopmental disorders, including autism spectrum disorder and attention deficit hyperactive disorder. But Wikipedia didn't mention that it was freaking Mount Sinai. But it was more than that. It was published in BMC Environmental Health and is the first to apply the rigorous navigation guide methodology to systematically evaluate the rigor and quality of the scientific literature. Now, we're going to find as we look back at either the here or in the other one, we'll state, hey, I forgot what I was going to say there. Oh, yeah, that these are about, involving schools and experts that are around population health studies, public health studies on the broad term, not individual. So, so they said that they did analysis by Mount Sinai of 46 studies incorporating data from more than 100,000 participants across multiple countries. And this analysis challenges this perception that acetaminophen is considered the safest option for managing headache, fever, and other pain, or at least certainly challenges that perception that it's the safest option among pregnant or, you know, potentially pregnant women. So they say that the Navigation Guide Systematic Review Methodology is a gold standard framework for synthesizing and evaluating environmental health data. It allows researchers to assess and rate each study's risk of bias, such as selective reporting of the outcomes or incomplete data, as well as the strength of the evidence and the quality of the studies individually and collectively. Quote, our findings show that higher quality studies are more likely to show a link between prenatal acetaminophen exposure and increased risks of autism and ADHD. Now, isn't that funny? Though they say right here, higher quality studies are more likely to show a link between prenatal acetaminophen exposure and increased risks. I believe they use that very same terminology, or certainly similar, over in the dismissive Wikipedia article. I think they used higher quality and said there are among higher quality studies. Let's go check. Yep, sure enough, in that first paragraph, current high quality evidence shows no causal link. So back to this quote, and I'm going to repeat it from the top. Our findings show that higher quality studies are more likely to show a link between prenatal acetaminophen exposure and increased risk of autism and ADHD. And what they're going to pull together here, some of the information I guarantee you when they talk about, let's assess and rate each study's risk of bias, such as selective reporting of the outcomes or incomplete data. Remember when I told you, if you want to find out where a bad study is, if you can find out, if they give enough information, then you would figure out, okay, why did they take out that many people? Are these really the people who didn't follow the regimen? Are these selective people that may have taken out because of the side effect? And so they took them out. So that side effect, really slash harm, would not hit statistical significance. So selective removal of participants. So when they're looking at higher quality studies, they're looking at something that says we started with 1,000, we ended up with 950, and here's why those 50 were taken out. And they can tell they weren't taken out for selective reporting of outcomes or incomplete data. These types of things, that's what they're talking about. The higher quality studies are more likely to show a link between prenatal acetaminophen exposure and increased risk of autism and ADHD. This is the assistant professor of population health science and policy and environmental medicine and climate science at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, ICAHN, Didier Prada. Now, I don't know if you say Didier. I tend to give that the French pronunciation, but it's D-I-D-D-I-E-R, Prada, P-R-A-D-A. Maybe that's Indian. M.D., Ph.D., assistant professor. Finishing, given the widespread use of this medication, even a small increase could have major public health implications. So then the day after, you can find articles that say, hey, the FDA now has new guidance that then says, reduce and do minimum effective dose. Don't go crazy and guide your patients to do minimum a dose. The paper explores biological mechanisms that could explain the association between acetaminophen use and these disorders. Well, we already know that acetaminophen can be toxic to liver and kidney. Therefore, it's potentially toxic elsewhere. That's my pull away. Now back to the article. Well, it's known to cross the placental barrier and may trigger oxidative stress, disrupt hormones, and cause epigenetic changes that interfere with fetal brain development. And while we don't know, this says the article, that the study does not show that acetaminophen directly causes neurodevelopmental disorders, We never know anything directly causes, by the way. So this is a, well, hopefully I don't lose my job, but we're still going to be proud and brave. And that's excellent. It's excellent. I do believe some truth and science has come forward thanks to the election. We are no longer in the culture where we go, no. We let the powerful people feed us bullshit about, quote, science because it protects their interests and we don't say anything. I do believe the tide has turned a bit on that. That's excellent. Well, nothing ever shows directly causation. All it can do is show correlation. And once it shows a high enough correlation, then for all practical purposes, that's causation. It's just, you know, the mechanism that's known. So, repeating then, while the study does not show that acetaminophen directly causes neurodevelopmental disorders, the research team's findings strengthen the evidence for a connection and raise concerns about current clinical practices. So they say, hey, time-limited use of acetaminophen during pregnancy under medical supervision is what we call for, as well as updated guidelines. So it says, you know, since autism and ADHD diagnoses are increasing worldwide, these findings have significant implications for public health policy and highlights the urgent need for pharmaceutical innovation to provide safer alternatives for pregnant women. Conducted University of California, Los Angeles, University of Massachusetts, Lowell, and Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Those are who collaborated with Mount Sinai on this. So again, this is not even new news. It's just that really, really awesome. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate RFK Jr. I said, it's right here. You know, kind of like Children's Health Defense. It's here. And then they said, we're going to use the bully pulpit of the DHS and the White House administration to make sure this is not overlooked. And once we've done that, then nobody gets to bitch and complain when we change our guidance by the FDA. We've told you, this looked at 46 studies. Okay, this one's going to be related as a result because it was a month old and crickets. September 24th, which, again, I believe they said this on Monday. So the day after, same source, well, a related source, one of the collaborating schools and, you know, university research, you know, departments of the university, Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, comes out with this science news put on sciencedaily.com, dated September 24th. Researchers reviewing 46 studies found evidence linking prenatal acetaminophen, parentheses, Tylenol exposure with higher risk of autism and ADHD. The FDA has urged caution, because basically the FDA, right after that announcement, is then when they adjusted the FDA guidelines, echoing scientists' advice that the drug be used only at the lowest effective dose and shortest duration. While important for managing fever and pain in pregnancy, prolonged use may pose risks to fetal development, etc., and so on. Now, here's an interesting thing that's in this article then. So the author said he, you know, communicated closely with HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he added this, provided the White House team with a statement noting his research found, quote, evidence of an association between prenatal exposure to acetaminophen and neurodevelopmental disorders. But then this is really interesting, quote, that association is strongest when acetaminophen is taken for 4 weeks or longer. Okay, we know that acetaminophen in large or continued dosages is toxic. Thus, articles about kidney and liver toxicity, i.e. one study, the potential protective role of what? Folic acid against acetaminophen-induced hepatotoxicity and nephrotoxicity. That is either kidney or liver or both. I can't remember. And or those two terms mean just regular toxicity and or chemical induced toxicity. So we know that that's talking about, man, you take too much, is really, it's bad for your liver. You can go find it on the labeling of your Tylenol, of your acetaminophen. You can absolutely find it. And so it's interesting that then this is about 4 weeks at a time? 4 weeks? You should never take it daily. You're going to get kidney toxicity. And if you take it daily for weeks at a time, if you get kidney toxicity, it's because it's generally toxic. Now, for a given small dose for a reason, that doesn't mean that you should not take it, because the body can deal with that toxicity when it's given at a small dose. But geesh, if you take it weeks at a time, it's no wonder it's potentially toxic to other systems. Wow. Okay, guys, well, mostly I just, you know, wanted to point out that far from being full of shit, the announcement is the type of thing that you want from your government. What we should be doing, like right below here, for instance, this is related articles. And, you know, you can see that, hey, guess what? Phthalates, I'm not sure how to say that. Chemicals associated with plastics. Yeah, so those can totally shed from the wrapping and packaging and even from plastic gloves worn by food handlers and food. And that's pretty bad for you. Another thing on phthalates, let me see if, I was thinking there was a second one. You would want to know that. And it is pretty crazy that, you know, something so used. And again, this is very easy. I can't remember if it's this one or regular aspirin. It can result in like tearing down your connective tissues when you overtake it. And I know somebody specifically where I'm like, what is going on with you? You take supplements. How are your arms falling apart? I think it's NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. The whole class, the whole idea is, yeah, take it once in a while, but don't take it like candy every day as a habit. It is not a supplement. It is a drug with harmful effects that if taken in balance, it's fine. It's good. But if you take it regularly, you are overdosing on the bad effects. And again, as I've said before, broken record, but when it first comes out, you know, the doctors and the scientists and the researchers say, yeah, I mean, use it, but of course there's limits, and so you should be careful with the limits. And then the marketing department gets over, and before you know it, it's your daily friend. And that's for all drugs, any number of drugs, depression medications, et cetera, and so on. NSAIDs, acetaminophen. It went from, well, yeah, it works, but you don't want to be taking it every day, of course. I mean, obviously. It's your day with one. It's your madge. It's just your madge. Gotta take my meds. Yeah. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm going to have a fun little addition to The Scales of Truth. Can't wait to unveil it here in the next week or so. Kind of a different, broaching a different area. Going to be really fun. Going to be participatory for me. Okay, guys. Again, thanks for listening to Scales of the Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.